The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There is no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF. Because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? We will have our Patreon hangout and Subscribestar hangout next Friday. So if you are a subscriber at the $20 level, next Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, after the regular show, we will have our Patreon hangout. Western Can United says, Jeff, what cheeses do you recommend? I aspire to ascend to your elevated level of cheese consciousness. Oh boy, there are so many. Val de Leon, if you want a blue cheese that is wrapped in leaves from a tree. Val de Leon, Spanish, excellent blue cheese. Of course, you can get the Valence if you want a goat cheese with black molds on it, white molds and black cinder, black ash. If you want a very good orange cheese, the Mimolette, the extra aged Mimolette. If you want a very good cheddar, you have to taste it one time before you die. The Montgomery cheddar, the Montgomery farm cheddar with holes in it on the side, and the cheese got dried and some of it becomes blue. Absolutely fantastic Montgomery cheddar. The Rocchetta from Italy, a mix of sheep, goat, I believe, sheep, goat, and cow, one third of each. Super smooth, liquidy, creamy cheese, absolutely fantastic. The Piave Stravecchio from Italy. The Oka is a good commercial Quebec cheese also. What else? Well, any aged, 2-year-old sheep cheese is excellent. They can be very good. I think I've given you a couple on the list to try. Cresus was saying, consolidation at the top of the chart always gives you hope for one more push upwards. Let's see what happens. Kirkus was asking, let's talk about Bitcoin. Lendalt answered that. I bought Bitcoin back when it was hanging up and down and up and down. And I got caught with Bitcoin as it did that last drop. So I'm waiting for a small peak up. And in fact, there are people on the Discord who believe that we are due for a 140K month of May. Maybe that will happen. In any case, I'm holding on to my Bitcoin because I don't feel that we've entered a massive bear market. I don't feel that people are running scared. You know what people are running scared from? Washington, D.C. Homes put up for sale in just the last 14 days in D.C. 500K homes, 400K homes, 1.4 million, 1.4 million, 1 million, 1 million, 280K, 950K. Man, see this and enjoy. This is the rats fleeing the ship. This is what happens when Trump comes in and says, no, you're not going to have these jobs that allow you to, what the fuck, acquire a $1.3 million home? being a government servant? This shouldn't be, shouldn't happen. You should be poor if you're a government servant, because you're getting that job and it's, you wouldn't have gotten that job in the private sector. You're not productive. You're getting lucky, really, and you're getting lucky that you can live. You shouldn't be able to afford a 1.3 million home being one of these government servants. So anyways, now they're stuck selling, and I suspect that a lot of mortgages, they will not be able to honor them because they are getting fired. They took these mortgages with the assumption that, oh, well, we're always going to have this salary. The government will never fire us. Enjoy this image, the rats dispersing. Those are just the homes that have appeared on the market in the last 14 days in DC. Western Kind United says, I have searched and bookmarked the cheeses. Many thanks. Oh yeah, any of these cheeses that I just listed, any of them are absolutely fantastic. Trump was having an Indian guy who was speaking English being translated to English.
Say about the Bangladesh issue, because we saw and it is evident that how...
Okay, so it's a Bangladesh guy.
The deep state of United States was involved to regime change during the Biden administration. Then Muhammad Yunus made Junior Soros also. So what is your point of view about...
And this guy is translating the English Bangladeshi into English English. What is your point of view about the Bangladesh? Well, Trump didn't have anything to say, so he was like, I will leave Bangladesh to the prime minister there, whatever. Blankets, you keep sending these links that I have to click on to determine what they contain. I will no longer click on these links because half of the stuff you bring me is something I don't really want to talk about, or it's old news, or... There's always something. So if you want me to pay attention to a link in the chat, Blankets, going forward, you have to explain to me what the link is. You can do a little summary and say, JF, that's the link. That way I can decide without clicking. But I'm tired of clicking on your links and it's like news that I already was planning to talk about. And no offense to you, it's just I need a summary if you want me to pay attention. You can keep posting your links. I don't care about the fact that they're there, but I won't click on them anymore. Oh my God, Jan Malchung has published this picture trying to make it look like he got a girlfriend. He is known as one of the most ugly people on the internet as a whole. Beardson was saying, this post gives me hope. You can be the ugliest chud on the planet, but as long as you have Twitter clout, you can bag a girlfriend. He was saying, I was trying to think of a funny caption to post, but I have nothing really to say apart from Dubai is pretty awesome. He was letting it be heard that maybe he was with this girl. No. This girl has now corrected on... the reply section. He says, I am not his girlfriend. I am not the girlfriend. He is my ex-husband's friend. Ah. So, he wasn't with her for... as a girlfriend. I've been hesitant about JD Vance. That's why I titled tonight Schrodinger Vance. Because I don't know. I don't know what to think. Schrodinger Vance, I don't know what's in the box here. It's very hard because he's coming up with some good stuff, but it's slippery. It's slippery what he's saying. It adopts some of the wordings and even some of the philosophy behind racial consciousness. Alt-right thinking, you could say. But he's doing so at the service of a form of civic nationalism. He's basically taking our words, but he's injecting in it a deeply Bronze Age pervert, you know, level of nothingness, really. Just the America of ideas. We are together because of our IDs. And he's doing it so slimily that I cannot think. I must side with Nick Fuentes there. And there must be something at play here, dark for America. There must be some bad news because he went out there at Munich. J.D. Vance warns Europe against mass immigration, changing the character of the continent. He says that 1 out of 5 of the people in Germany have been born abroad, and the situation looks similar in many parts of the continent. That's good news that we have someone telling the Europeans, you've taken the wrong direction with immigration. It's a country-changing policy that you have. But what is being changed? It's the race. It's the demographics. It's the problem with all this is that the immigrants aren't white. If they were white and they were equivalently white, if they had the same political beliefs as the host country, like if you were to suddenly exchange 1 million UK citizens, white UK citizens, with 1 million Americans and put some German and French in the mix if you want, it wouldn't be that grave. Certainly there would be impacts, but the impacts would be incredibly softer and more easy to handle than importing these same populations from Arab, Slavic, African, or sub-Saharan African populations. That is the problem, and that is what I can't hear from J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is taking all of the elements of a racially conscious discourse. He's saying, okay, there's these immigrants that come in, they cause a problem. Now, what's the problem? Well, it's not the race, it's not the change of demographics, it's that they attack people with cars. But remove the car attacks in Europe, you still have a massive problem. This is where the discourse isn't complete. There is still a lie here, a lie that we've been working at undermining. The fact that there's 1 out of 5 Germans that is not born in Germany is a problem, not because of car attacks, not because of knife attacks. It's a problem because it changes politics forever. It leads white people to lose control of their country. And control by white people is very, very, very important. Because once you have a country that is controlled by the bottom of society, that is controlled by the undesirable, that is controlled by the lower classes, there is no more place for meritocracy. And we're starting to have a taste of it as we see white people being banned from employment, being punished in employment. We've seen under the Democrats and under the Republicans, even to an extent, how we're about to enter a racially disadvantageous position. We're about to enter a form of South Africa, a South Africa where white people will be constantly bashed on. And I don't think that the Trump pause that we're getting here for 4 years, and maybe we're going to get the J.D. Vance pause for 4 or 8 years, I don't think that changes the direction that the country is taking. Blanket says, Jeff, maybe you should ask J.D. to come on the show. Well, I don't think he would. But look at the sliminess of the appropriation of racial discourse. But then bait and switch. When we say, what are you defending to soldiers? That is a racially conscious talking point, which we've been hearing across the racially conscious right. Nick Fuentes, me, others have been saying it. What the fuck are these soldiers fighting for? And what we meant by this is, if their country is undermining their own race, if their country is fighting against their own right to reproduce. If their country is making economic opportunities unavailable to them because they're white, why the fuck are they going to sacrifice their lives on the front line? And most importantly, they are doing so in apparently to serve not even their country, which hates them. They're doing so to serve Israel. So there's a double cuckoldry here happening. Now, that's a racially conscious talking point. Now, look at the subverted version of it, straight from the mouth of J.D. Vance.
But let me also ask.
And amazingly, he's making this bait and switch in front of European security elite, which are extreme neocon kind of leftist, bizarre, pro, of course, statist, extremely statist entities there.
Thank you. How will you even begin to think through the kinds of budgeting questions if we don't know what it is that we are defending in the first place? I've heard a lot already in my conversations, and I've had many, many great conversations with many people gathered here in this room. I've heard a lot about what you need to defend yourselves from, and of course that's important. But what has seemed a little bit less clear to me, and certainly I think to many of the citizens of Europe, is what exactly it is that you're defending yourselves for. What is the positive vision that animates this shared security compact that we all believe is so important? And I believe deeply that there is no security if you are afraid of the voices, the opinions, and the conscience that guide your very own people.
So isn't that interesting? The bait and switch here came at the end. So up to the end, you can say, oh, well, he's appealing to racial consciousness. He's appealing to, hey, you're not going to convince white people to go on the front line to fight wars for other nations if they can't even defend a home in which they have their white family surviving. But instead of talking about the white family, what does J.D. Vance slide toward? Well, the voices of the people and their conscience inside your own nations. He's sliding toward a First Amendment freedom of speech definition of Europeanness. Now, it doesn't really make sense because, well, Europe, as Europe ever claimed to be for free speech, perhaps to an extent in the constituting documents of the UK, perhaps to an extent, but the First Amendment really makes sense in American context as an explicit statement, but is appealing to a civic nationalist view of military recruitment. He's saying we must know what we defend, and what we defend is this set of values together. So he is making the whole argument in the shape that I would have made it. Like I was asking a couple of weeks ago, I was asking, what is Europe defining itself as? What is Europe if it's to be invaded by bands of Muslims? But he slides away from this. He's not talking about the Muslims anymore. He's talking about Europe should have a vision of freedom, a vision that they are the free world. So it's a very Cold War era, very American view. It's good that it gets put in the face of the Europeans, but it's bad because ultimately it's a subversion of what should be done, which is Europeans should be proud and should conceive of themselves as white Europeans, as a race that has to have a last place to exist in this earth, because it's not going to be America at this rate. Jackie Chan sends a super chat. Thank you so much. He says, what are your thoughts on expatriation as a response? It's not unknown for, say, Germans or French to form colonies in another country, then come back in a few decades. I believe that this is a viable strategy, but the comeback will never happen. So I believe that white people spreading across the world may be needed in some places. Like in Canada, for example, I've literally exhausted the provinces. I am in my last province. The next would be perhaps the Northwest Territories, but it's not even a province. It's really an Arctic jungle. There are some countries you will have to flee from. And yes, you should, if that's feasible for you, if it's possible for you. But I don't think you'll be able to come back, because the reason you're fleeing is that your country has lost it, and there will be no reconquest. The countries that fail because they have too much of a Muslim or black majority, it's going to be unrecoverable. There will be some kind of brick wall that these populations encounter, and that once white people are gone, they're going to have a hard time heating up the place, surviving the winter. And as our friend from Switzerland was saying on the show, the survivalist from Switzerland, he was saying, ultimately, cold places will be populated by white people, and hot places will be populated by black people, and everything in between. But that can take a lot of time. And the problem is that technology is so available that perhaps an Arab nation could survive in Sweden. Perhaps they could find a way to heat it up for a 500 years or 1,000 years. Lendald Guntram says, exactly. The comeback is a very low probability option, so the numbers overwhelmingly point in the expatriation direction. Yeah, for some places, definitely. Reconcentration and expatriation. Western Kind United says, Jackie Chan, white people leaving their own nations will either not be allowed re-entry, or the situation will be so degraded with them being hated minorities that they would wish they never left. Abandoning our land is not an acceptable thought for me. Well, good luck. Good luck, Western Kind. We're going to leave you behind to defend our lands. Good luck.
Europe faces many challenges, but the crisis this continent faces right now, the crisis I believe we all face together, is one of our own making. If you're running in fear of your own voters, there is nothing America can do for you. Nor, for that matter, is there anything that you can do for the American people who elected me and elected President Trump. You need Democratic mandates to accomplish anything of value in the coming years. Have we learned nothing that thin mandates produce unstable results? But there is so much of value that can be accomplished with the kind of Democratic mandate that I think will come from being more responsive to the voices of your citizens.
So J.D. Vance is absolutely right on his diagnosis of Europe here. He's telling Europe, you have ignored your people. And in Europe, it's absolutely true. It's true to an extent in the U.S., but in Europe, they have basically, there's a whole portion of the population that is being censored, that cannot have their public speakers, that because they're getting attacked, they have laws against hate speech. And J.D. Vance tell them to their face that your hate speech laws are a problem. He also referred to Greta Thunberg. That was an interesting wink, basically saying, hey, you guys constantly worry about subversion from Russia. And the thing is, we're going to have to accept, and this has been in the discussion on this show for many years. Under the First Amendment, doesn't Russia have a First Amendment right? And I spoke about it with Richard Spencer. In fact, at least doesn't the... We were talking about this, you know, when they discovered Lauren Chen and all these other people were receiving money and their shows were funded by Russia to some extent or by networks associated with Russia. And, you know, there is a question about, do you have a First Amendment right to be pro-Russian in the US and, in fact, to receive funding from Russia? And it was a very refreshing view that J.D. Vance put forward by saying, oh, well, do you have the right to be influenced by Greta Thunberg? Greta Thunberg is the Swedish leftist who's pushing for leftism within the US. Should we target her like a national security threat? Or is Greta Thunberg okay? Because Greta Thunberg got invited in Congress, got invited to speak with the politicians. And so very interesting, the slide that he did there, comparing foreign intervention and Greta Thunberg, which is nothing else than foreign intervention.
And expressing opinions isn't election interference. Even when people express views outside your own country, and even when those people are very influential. And trust me, I say this with all humor, if American democracy can survive 10 years of Greta Thunberg scolding, you guys can survive a few months of Elon Musk.
Because Elon Musk is being treated as an outside entity that is controlling the minds of the European people. But isn't that what you sign up for in a liberal democracy? Shouldn't everyone be able to be influenced by Russian authors and in this case, an American billionaire? Rudy Lacid says, I think in that example, JD was talking about how lots of Germans voted for the AfD, but other parties were trying to get that party banned and dissolved, when AfD are the will of the people. Absolutely. I think that's what he was referring to in first and foremost. But philosophically, it touches upon all cases of foreign interference. Jackie Chan says, Coach Red Pill floated the idea of retreating to Alaska. It's so far out, I don't think anybody would follow there. In the American hemisphere, our choices are the frozen Yukon or the sweaty South American jungle. Oh, I think that Alaska is a very nice destination. I got very much closer to Alaska through my recent moves. And so, Alaska is definitely a safe place to go because it's cold enough that it will push away much of the trouble. I mean, can you imagine being a street gang in Alaska? I mean, you are icing your balls out. Michael Montforce and $10, thank you so much for the generous donation. He says, the Nick Fuentes hostility to J.D. Vance is totally irrational. It's likely based more on a personal beef or jealousy from Fuentes than anything substantive about J.D. Vance. Well, see, I would like to believe this. I would like to be able to fully trust J.D. Vance and say, all right, Nick Fuentes is just being emotional. I would love to be able to do this because I would actually live better. I would feel that we are in good hand in J.D. Vance. But this is why I titled it Schrodinger Vance. I cannot fully say this. Because when Nick Fuentes analyzes the situation, he says, Trump's entire second term is going to be one long Vance 2028 campaign boosted by Lil Tech, and he means Palantir and the likes, and NatCon, National Conservatism. Anybody who receives steel money has been shilling nonstop and trying to brand this fat, disgusting laboratory creation as some kind of base Chad. It's disgusting. And I don't care about anything he says because he is clearly willing to say anything to become president. What matters is that he was groomed by David Frum and then Peter Thiel to be the future of the GOP since 2011 and has been astroturfed ever since. No thank you. I have to side with the warning of Nick Fuentes here. Those are not good people at all. And to the extent that JD Vance sounds good right now. It may be because he doesn't have enough power yet to do what he has to do. The true JD Vance, the mask will have to drop in the future, and if that mask falls, what we are bound to find is that David Frum and Peter Thiel, I mean, David Frum is this extremely neocon, old-style politics guy. The fact that he is involved in any way in the grooming or the growing of J.D. Vance's popularity is extremely worrying. And Peter Thiel is also this guy who's trying to get a lot of public control, a lot of mind control out there on the public space, and is apparently doing so in part to push for an AI industry around the military. And so I would like to be able to side with you, Michael Montfort, but that doesn't seem all irrational. What do we know from the people who generally get groomed by these people, David Frum? They are neocons. They are taking over America to do some dark deeds with it. And I'm extremely worried that something like this is going to pop out from JD Vance. Blanket says, do you think there's any positives to JD? I think a lot is positive, which is why I'm so torn. 99% of what I hear is certainly in the right direction. I would like to be able to celebrate. I would like to be able to drop off my guard for a moment and enjoy the fact that we have a political win here. We're winning and winning and winning. The two last weeks have been absolutely wonderful, and it's more than we expected, really. It's more than we expected to have a J.D. Vance pushing for a form of American nationalism, even if it's not the nationalism I would be excited about. It's still more than expected to have him push for these things in front of Europe. There's also the fact that we have a double discourse here. This is why it's also a Schrödinger situation. Trump is saying we will cut our defense spending by half, but meanwhile, J.D. Vance was in front of these people in Europe to tell them to increase their defense spending. Now, it does make sense within the rationale of Trump to say this, because it's the whole idea is, well, America shouldn't pay for all this, you guys should pay for it. But what do we find ourselves with down the line? We have a submitted Europe that cares much less about its people and their free voice than America. So we have basically a transfer of defense budget, yes, from America to Europe, but eventually that European budget is more subject to deep state subversion, more subject to elite control, more subject to the democratic debt, precisely, that J.D. Vance is describing. So what we find ourselves with 10 years down the line, if this whole project does happen, that Trump reduces American military spending and Europe increases its own, we have a less accountable military even than we had during the worst of George Bush, Middle Eastern conquest. So it's looking bad. I've never seen such contradictions in the public space of both things to celebrate and things to be worried about. I would be very worried about a world in which the defense budgets are circulating through dark networks of money around Peter Thiel's, Palantir, and all these people, and David Frum, and we don't even have free speech about them because the populations that fund through their own taxpaying of this military spending, will not even have free speech. So we find ourselves with a kind of militarized Europe, a measures of war Europe, the same way Ukraine found itself in that situation, unaccountable spending, Zelensky dictator, and Coach Red Pill died from this shit. I mean, our friend died from this shit. Our friend died from speaking freely in an outpost of the American Empire. And what is it that you're seeing here? Nothing else than the development of a European outpost of the American Empire. And I'm not saying it's not been the case in the past. It's kind of been that all the time. But it was at American spending, at the American expense. What Trump is trying to do is to Ukrainize Europe to an extent. And this is the sense in which you have to understand J.D. Vance's speech here. European leaders horrified after J.D. Vance slams censorship laws to their faces. In his first major speech on the international stage, J.D. Vance criticized European leaders for allowing mass migration and extreme laws censoring speech, remarking that he worries more about Europe's threat from within than from external threats like Russia and China. The threat that I worry the most about vis-a-vis Europe is not Russia, it's not China, it's not any other external actor. What I worry about is the threat from within. Again, those are words of racially conscious people. Those are my words. I have used that kind of word. The enemy is inside. The enemy is not outside. But to J.D. Vance, the enemy is not the demographic change and the populations that act and vote differently than white people. To him, it is the people who are inside the nation and are censoring subjects. And it's extremely uncomfortable. I feel extremely uncomfortable at the sight of how they are trying to prop up J.D. Vance as a result of this speech, making Chad memes. Here he is. He has been modified by AI to look like a Chad.
I've heard a lot about what you need to defend yourselves from. And of course, that's important. But what has seemed a little bit less clear to me, and certainly I think to many of the citizens of Europe, is what exactly it is that you're defending yourselves for. What is the positive vision that animates this shared security compact that we all believe is so important? And I believe deeply that there is no security if you are afraid of the voices, the opinions, and the conscience that guide your very own people. I've heard a lot about.
We are seeing an enterprise of subversion, clearly. An open enterprise of subversion of racially aware talking points. Because what is he given? He's given a jawline, he's given basically the a racially pure look for a racially conscious crowd to cheer on him while subverting a racially conscious talking point. I can't believe what we're seeing. This is extremely important because this is a psyop. A psyop is happening. I'm telling you guys, I'm not being paranoid. A psyop is happening. It's been pulled by the very pro-J.D. Vance crowd. You see it on these Bronze Age pervert type of online, J.R. Tolkien fans type of Twitter accounts. They are building him up. Jackie Chan says J.D. Vance is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And, you know, here, Jack Posobiec also pulling a slide from a racially aware talking point. He says the citizens of our nations are not interchangeable cogs in a global economy. That is normally what racially aware people say. And what we mean by this is you can't change a white person for an Indian and get the same results societally. It doesn't work. But in this circumstance, J.D. Vance is certainly not talking about Indian migration, since he is himself pounding out babies that are half Indian. My conclusion on this whole J.D. Vance thing is we are being trapped here in an appealing set of figures of speech. Some specialist of language has been thinking very hard to write these discourses. Don't underestimate what's being done here. These words are not straight from J.D. Vance's mind. We have a bunch of discourse writers who are following racially aware talking points of the internet for years. They've been cooking up, how can I phrase it in the way that a Nick Fuentes would? How can I phrase it in the way that a JF would, but then bait it to something else? This is extremely developed language work. You have here semantic experts and linguists who have been working on this. And they're probably the linguists of the Peter Thiel of this world. They are probably Palantir people. And they're doing this for a reason. You don't deploy that level of psyop. You don't develop that level of psyop without having very dark intent. They want to take over the government for one reason. If it's self-enrichment, you're going to be lucky. If it's just that, if they're just doing this because they want the contracts, you're going to be lucky if it's just that. Because to me, it looks like Jewish subversion again. This has all the signatures of it. Rodita Sid says, Jack Posobiec's tweet was exactly the same words that Sam Hyde said to Vivek about Indians and H-1B. Exactly. Sam Hyde. Now I remember. It was straight from Sam Hyde. So who is doing this? Who is pulling the strings here? Who the fuck is playing with our minds? This is extremely worrying. You should worry. Because something dark is happening here. Someone is copying. Literally, someone has been given the job. Listen to Sam Hyde. Try to integrate everything that he says in the form that he says it, but say something else with it. Who the fuck is doing this? Who the fuck is ordering this? Something wrong is happening with the public space. Man. Matt Walsh says, I hate when Media Matters catches me saying stuff that is demonstrably and obviously true. The Media Matters was titling Daily Wire host, this country was in fact primarily built by white men. Yeah, an obvious truth. And Matt Walsh is also a bizarre case. You know, there he is working for Daily Wire, but also advancing racially aware talking points in a much more direct way than J.D. Vance. You could think that Matt Walsh is on our side and kind of an agent. Yeah, a Dark Elves, says Lendald Guntram. The Dark Elves are out and they are putting forward their dark schemes. Ron DeSantis says property taxes are local, not state, so we would need to do a constitutional amendment requiring 60% of voters to approve to eliminate them, which I would support. Or even to reform or lower them, we should put the boldest amendment on the ballot that has a chance of getting that 60%. I agree that taxing land property is the more oppressive and ineffective form of taxation. Yes, this has to be put under control because there's all these local cities and little counties or whatever. They start treating their property owners as a tax base to farm, and they increase. And the whole idea was just to get trash service, bro. Sorry, you were just supposed to collect our trashes, and they're like, oh well, you want trash and you want electricity and you want this and you want that, and they increase the price and they increase their size. We have to put a cap on these schemes, and it shouldn't cost a lot for a bunch of advanced societies to be able to deliver trash collection service. Literally, you just need a truck, a guy that's paid for it. You don't need, $2,000, $4,000 a year to do that for one citizen. Blanket says, Jeff, would you prefer DeSantis for 2028? no, DeSantis has its own issue. Ross Alert report, Donald Trump has instructed the IRS to begin mass layoffs affecting thousands of employees. Hopefully that is true. Hopefully that is not just talking points emerging. President Trump just signed an executive order to defund any schools that mandate COVID vaccines. Brian Krashenstein was saying, there's no public school that mandates COVID-19. Of course there is. Of course there is. And the order does include, colleges, and definitely colleges do impose the COVID vaccine. And so thankfully here, they will start defunding these colleges. What most likely would happen is these colleges will just close their requirements of the vaccine. Muslims activists are establishing an Islamic city in Dallas County, Texas, called Epic City. It is touted as a Muslim-only community. Should all major U.S. cities have adjacent gated Islamic cities featuring Sharia courts and Islamic madrasas? Look, I'm kind of hesitant on this. I don't know. Let them do it and then do a white version of this, perhaps. Anyways, I don't like gated communities because it leaves so much power in the hands of this council. And you have to be a non-artist and a social being to go to the council and say, hey, I would like to do this, or I would like to reduce the taxes. And if they don't want, then they eventually collect their tax to the point of impoverishing you and to the point of maintaining your home being impossible. So I don't know what to think about the Muslim version of it. Sure, let them live in their fenced communities. I don't mind. Fucking Zoom. Jamie Dimon launches into a tirade, railing on complacency, work from home at the JP Morgan meeting. So he's being inspired by Elon Musk, I would say. This is very much, it sounds like Elon Musk is alert around remote work, that kind of thing. It sounds very much, Elon Musk is having a deep influence. You see Mark Zuckerberg acting like him. Now Jamie Dimon. It looks like the Elon Musk attitude with work is inspiring across America. Western Can United says, JF, you have picked any stocks recently? I don't do stocks. Because I'm dreaming of a world. I have a dream. I have a dream where all stocks are worth pennies. And I want to live that future in which stocks don't matter at all. People don't want them. They're not a good way to make money. I want a future in which Bitcoin abolishes all of this, what Michael Saylor calls a monetization of non-money assets. The fact is that people are buying stocks as if it's money because the money is so bad that people need stocks to preserve their value. But given that there is now good money, given that there is Bitcoin, stocks, most of them, they shouldn't exist. Because the fact is, you don't want to invest in gold mining. You don't want to invest in this bizarre company that rents gym equipment to whoever. No one cares about doing this. They're doing this because the system is on the growth assumption. And since everything is going to grow, these stocks are going to grow too. No, I haven't bought stock recently. Doubting Thomas says, JF, a revolutionary phenotype took over my computer. My conda somehow took over my shell's path. So all my shell scripting and printing was going through conda. I then tried to change some environmental variables, leading to conda fucking up my system, keeping me from executing basic commands like ls. I don't even know what conda is. I'm a pro of computers, but what is conda? I don't know what that is. Maybe it's some aspect of computer science that I ignore. I don't know what you're talking about, but it seems that you have a virus Well, you know, too bad. Western Can United says, JF, this is fine with me as long as NVIDIA gets beyond $150 for a day beforehand. Anaconda Python. Okay, I guess I know how to code roughly in Python, but very loosely. I'm not a user of Python. Okay, integrated dev environment. Okay, so it's the thing you code in Python with. Okay, well, that's why I don't know about it. I don't code regularly in Python. John Dreg says, all stocks are trending towards zero against BTC. Absolutely. Breaking news, it's official. Donald Trump has just announced he has banned the Associated Press from the Oval Office and Air Force One for refusing to recognize the Gulf of America. People are calling it a direct assault against freedom of speech. Look, it is not speech to be given access to the president. It is something else. So, and by the way, independent creators have been shut off from the White House forever under the Democrats. So it seems that an arbitrary kind of choosing is happening at the White House that leads all independent creators and all right-wing entities like Newsmax and these MAGA type of outlets, all of them are banned from the White House under a Democrat administration. So, what if Trump does the same? What if Trump decides, I'm going to have some measure by which you're a leftist, and that measure is going to be whether you call the Gulf of America, America, or the Gulf of America, Mexico. I am fine with it. I'm fine with it. And this is mostly Trump playing, I guess. But he's playing a game that should be played because that's what the leftists are doing to us. The leftists are treating us like illegitimate voices when they have power. Let's treat their entity. By the way, the Associated Press is... Oh, no, that's Reuters. Was it Reuters that got the grant for mass social deception? Rodilacid says the Associated Press is owned and operated by a consortium of newspaper and news media outlet. The Federal Reserve is owned and operated by a consortium of banks. And who is traditionally statistically overrepresented in these endeavors? I don't know. Inuits? I don't know. I would need to see the data. I would need to see peer-reviewed science. Donald Trump is saying that tomorrow is the deadline that comes to expire. Tomorrow at 12 o'clock Saturday is the deadline for Hamas to release the hostages. But I've been saying it from the beginning. I don't think there are that many hostages left. I think most likely the hostages got bombed by Israel the same way the freaking Hamas people got bombed by Israel. So I don't think there's this massive hostage release that can happen. So Trump is demanding something that we have known was impossible from the start, which is why I've called this out as this is all a big excuse. This is all Trump making a demand that cannot be complied with so that tomorrow there will be a justification for Israel to do whatever they want to Gaza. So I don't know what will happen. He says, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow at 12 o'clock. If it was up to me, I would take a very hard stance. I can't tell you what Israel is going to do. So good news, at least it's going to be an Israel-only an Israel-only action. But basically, Trump is giving carte blanche for absolute genocide. I mean, what do you think the Israelis are going to do? Hearing that Trump is saying, go as hard as you can. That's like when Jordan Peterson said, give them hell. And hell they have gotten. It's sad. It's sad because this is all excuse building. I don't think Trump is serious in thinking that these hostages are still available. that is it for tonight, boys. Lee Zeldin reports from the EPA, new administrator at the EPA. In partnership with DOGE, I just canceled 9 more wasteful EPA, DEI, and environmental justice contracts, saving American taxpayers another $60 million. I'm just warming up. I have zero tolerance for even a penny of your hard-earned tax dollars to be wasted or abused. That's good. I can't wait to see this happen at the national intelligence level, at the military level, because those are the big spending departments. It's good to see it at the EPA, of course, but can you imagine once Tulsi Gabbard really gets in and she starts seeing really what's happening, can you imagine the amount of DEI crap that must have been developing and under the guise of secrecy? Because, oh, well, we're an intelligence service. We cannot tell it to the public. Can you imagine how much DEI crap they do when they can do it secretly? Silver Spider says, I doubt it will happen at the military level. That's the saddest thing. It's that I don't see as much intensity on these fronts, and there should be, because I expect there will be much more crap in there than anywhere else. Blanket says, JF, is there any other good crypto than BTC? BTC is the safe bet, and honestly, it looks like everything else is losing to BTC at the moment. There may be a little alt season, but it's going to be circumstantial. And anyways, it's ETH is getting dumped solidly, bro. So it looks like BTC is winning more than I expected. Now, to me, the ETH technology is one of the most beautiful realizations of humanity. A truly public computer. That will have its role. But that doesn't mean you should hold ETH. That doesn't mean ETH is a good investment. That's the way I see it. Much love, everyone. I'll be on a break tomorrow and Sunday. 2 days break. And I'll be back next week. Much love and sleep well.